Charlene Lee, Principal Analyst with Forrester Research.
Okay. Charlene, we're here at Venture One Summit, and you just got out of a talk about RSS and blogging and podcasting. I know it's an area of interest of yours. Now, you mentioned some interesting statistics in there about sort of a level that things need to get to before advertisers sort of start to set up and take notice. What was that number?
Yeah, it's about 5 million unique users to really attract the traditional brand marketers to your property as a standalone destination. And these are sort of the Fords, the P&G companies, because what they want to do, they want to see scale. They want to see that it's worth their time to be able to go and reach that audience. Now, if you want to reach smaller, if you have a small audience, you can still definitely draw advertisers. It'll just be a different kind. Usually will be more lead generation oriented on a pay-per-click basis, not the traditional, so cost per thousand display advertisers that are out there. So a lot of the players that are out there right now trying to build media businesses are really trying to build scale. In order to be successful with the traditional media kind of model, you need to have a lot of people.
Now, you showed some statistics, too, about how people are using these various services, and that podcasting is still kind of a growing medium, but it's something that's new, basically, that people don't know how to use yet, in a way.
Yeah, podcasting is still has a very technical term that, you know, you have to do podcatchers and all this stuff, and people just kind of go, well, I just want to listen to my audio wherever I want to. And in many ways, people think, oh, I have a podcast, it's anything that's audio on the internet these days. The true definition of podcast is when you can download something on a regular basis, you subscribe to it, it's automatically downloaded, and you can take it on your device. And the fact of the matter is, the number of people who are doing that is actually very, very small. It's like a couple 100,000 people who do it in the U.S. on a regular basis, partly because it's hard to do, and also partly because it's also there's not a lot of great content out there. And the number one type of content that people want to listen to is their existing audio. It's internet radio, it's broadcast radio, it's TV, it's audiobooks. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily any content.
Now, how long do you think, because I talked to Laura Behrens about the same thing a few podcasts ago. What do you think is going to make the difference between that sort of shift of being able to depend upon a brand name and move it on to what's going to actually, you know, I guess, be in a way establish a new brand in a way, but out of nowhere, you know, out of the great fog?
It's really hard because there's so much out there. There's so much good content out there already. And so you're really competing against some really big name brands. And I think Sirius is a great example. Sirius Radio and XM Radio, they're starting to do podcasts with their existing content. Again, some of the original content, but it's part of their sort of network. And so to have that brand, people know it, they depend on it, and then for quality. For you to convince somebody to say, look, I have my limited media time, I'm not going to spend it with my traditional favorites. My TV shows, my radio shows, NPR. I'm going to try this new one. It's got to be really interesting, really grab my attention, and really reach into a deep passion of mine.
And you also talked about sort of what's missing, a key link that's missing is the ease of making something work. I mean, we've seen sites like Odeo and some others that have and are making an effort clearly to make podcasting much more transparent. But what is going to explain a little bit about that? You said that sort of basically it's like turnkey software for social networking.
Yeah, I think that the fact of the matter is that creating audio and video is hard. It's not like sitting down at a word processor and doing it. And I think actually an interesting area is sort of the personal publishing area, not so much the sort of trying to get an audience and media play. It's my nephew and niece being my brother-in-law in Toronto sending me regular videos. But instead of creating it and emailing it to me, what if they could just podcast it to me, put it up there? My TiVo unit can go and grab that feed that he's published when it's available and check I'm subscribing to it. But he can push it to the place where I want to see it, which is on my television, not on my PC. And I'm not using email as a transport and distribution medium anymore. Now, I think there's some opportunity for people to do that. Again, would he be willing to pay a fee? Would it be advertising-based? That's still to be worked out. But again, I think that's where some of the opportunities are.
Do you think there's a reluctance right now in the consumer to sort of pay that extra price for that? I mean, we've seen advertising models come up in email, right, where, you know, most people, I don't know if they even look at what's at the bottom of the email now, but sure, there's some little models where you look at the web page, you know, you can't help it on AOL and some others. Do you think how much of that social networking can stand up to the wall of advertising
or
to what's
going on? I mean, consumers understand, they really do understand that in order to get this stuff for free, they have to look at ads, and they're willing to do it. They're very willing to do it because they just want to pay money for this. I mean, how much would I be willing to pay to send the video? Well, you know, frankly, I could do it. I could do it my old Kluge way for free. I'm not going to pay very much. In fact, I'm not going to pay anything because I'm willing to live with the Kluge. But would I move over to this new nice system? Would I be willing to look at advertising for it? May I be willing to, if I'm doing it more frequently, be willing to pay for access to it at some point, maybe for premium services, more storage, more bandwidth, whatever it is. But the initial entree, I believe, is going to be consumer play, has to be free.
Do you think that's going to come out of, say, you know, out of venture capital world, out of consumer? Well, you were talking about these kinds of things move out of consumer space, right?
Right. Again, the idea is that these new technologies come from the consumer space and move into the enterprise space in short order. So instant messaging is an example of that. Email, even the PC, is a good example of things coming from the consumer household, people taking it to work and using it in a work environment. So again, I see blogs definitely moving into the corporate space. More and more companies are thinking about having blogs. More and more companies are thinking of enabling their desktops, their users, with RSS feeds so they can push information to them. And some companies are actually playing with podcasts as a way to connect with investors, for example. They're taking their existing content they're already recording, presentations from speeches, earnings calls, and putting those up in podcasts and experimenting with it and seeing who actually wants to listen to these things.
And some of this also speaks to, I guess, the next level of search as well, because search is, it's seeming like it's got to get to that absolutely transparent phase where perhaps you can start actually searching audio or doing these other things in order to really, really make that user experience total.
Right, and again, most of the search right now for multimedia is around the package. It's around the tags. It's around the tags that the author has put on, the publisher, or what other people have put on through Technorati or through Delicious Tags. The ease of use, I think it's already coming pretty quickly, primarily because there are some new search technologies. Blink, for example, does open up the files, use search recognition, voice recognition against that. We know for sure that Google is definitely working on these kinds of things, so that you'll be able to just create these things and you'll have it out there. TVEyes does it. There's a bunch of small specialized search engines in the audio space that look at this. Just voice recognition to transcript is still really hard, because somebody could say one thing, it's translated a different way, and the search engine itself has to be smart enough to know what are some of the most common misunderstood words by sort of this voice recognition technology.
What is Web 2.0 to you?
Yeah, Web 2.0, we often think about it as a sort of broad phenomenon that's happening. And we think about it as some of the tools that are available associated with all these things. We use a different term called social computing, which kind of describes what happens when you have Web 2.0 tools. It's sort of like information highway or superhighway that's out there. In the traditional, sort of when we built concrete highways in the United States, all these other businesses and phenomenon happened up. Suburbs were created, gas stations, strip malls, for example. And social computing is sort of the result of all these Web 2.0 technologies. And we define it as the power shifting from institutions down to communities. And if you think about the existing web that it had is today, Web 1, it was very much held by institutions who had access to servers, new HTML code, had programming capabilities. With social computing now, all these tools, anybody can go out and be a publisher and create audio tests and have an advertising model behind it with Google AdSense. And so everywhere that we turn, looking at these technologies, companies are struggling with the fact that their brand is no longer controlled by them. It's very much dictated by the consumer interactions. As CIOs are struggling with the fact that a lot of their knowledge management is no longer resides in these collaboration tools that they've set up at the institutional level. It's actually residing on wikis that people have created on the side. So again, I think that's the struggle of how, when I'm losing power, how do I still leverage it and still take advantage of all the benefits?
Okay. Well, Charlene Lee, Forrester Analyst, it's been great talking with you. We're here at Venture One, and it's the first day, and thanks for being with us on the podcast
Thank
today.
You.
I'm Michael Johnson. This is PodTech.net.